This is Building Bridges with Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash.
Former Mexican guest workers seek $500 million in stolen pension.
A caravan of ex-braceros from Mexico in what they're calling the historic march for a historic debt came to the United Nations to denounce the human rights abuses of Enrique Peña Nieto's administration that continued to this day. The Bracero program, established by the U.S. and Mexican governments in 1942, was the country's first guest worker program. The delegation of ex-braceros are calling public attention to the fact that millions of these workers, many of whom have died or are living under poor conditions, have yet to receive the 10% taken from their paychecks in promised pensions. They are also calling for a just immigration reform in the U.S. because, as the first guest workers, the ex-braceros can testify how guest workers' policies legalize slavery and legalize abuse. Currently, the Obama administration is pushing for a guest worker program as part of its comprehensive immigration reform agenda. Well, Ken files this report from the Alianza de Ex Braceros del Norte.
States of America during the World War II. They were the first people who were hired to come and work the fields so they could also feed the American country. During the time they were so focused on building guns, sending them to the war front, but they also forgot that they were testing these people with TDT. They were giving them inhumane treatment. They didn't give them enough resources to live a living life and a human life. So today, these people are back to reclaim what is theirs. They've been gypped out of money by the Mexican government, and they were tested like animals by the American government. These people deserve nothing else but respect from everybody else.
How did this money not get to them that was owed to them?
Well, there was some money that was sent and put aside by every single worker who worked here, right? The government took some money on the side and put it and say, well, you guys have to pay for taxes. You guys have to pay like everybody else. So some of the money that grew, the fund that grew, was sent over to Mexico after the contract was done. During that time, the government did not pay them the money back. And when people went to register and give the contracts in to receive their pension, the government simply said, we're not going to give you anything and took the documents away. Not only that, let people know that the American government tested these workers like animals. And so in certain times, they had to stick their fingers up their anuses just to get a contract. And they were sprayed with TDT just to get a contract. And that's an inhumane way of treating a person, especially in a first world country. We're supposed to be the greatest country in the world. Yet we're doing these things since the beginning of World War II. And anyone who says that this is not true clearly does not understand American history.
How many workers were you talking about from back then?
I cannot give you the exact number. I can tell you they were a lot. There were enough workers to work all the fields around the United States, especially in California and Texas.
And given this history, how do you interpret the present debate with regard to immigration in the U.S.?
Well, we're seeing the same patterns because they're trying to implement a new Bracero program, which is basically legalizing the 21st century slavery. Because if these people are under a contract and they could get fired at any time, then the bosses have the chance of doing whatever they feel like to any person just because they're under a contract, which they could get fired at any time.
I'm speaking with
Marco Jacinto, part of People Power Movement and the Migrant Power Alliance. Hey, I'm a student from La Guardia Community College, and I also work and spend some time involved in activism.
And I'm talking with Oriano Ramirez Caldera, who is a bracero worker, and Oriano is being translated by Julia Camagon.
Leandro, what are your experiences of bracero worker?
Cuando yo era bracero, estaba muy nuevo. Tenía 20 años.
He was 20 years old in 1957 when he found out about the bracero, and he was a bracero in the state of California. So he says that the employer did not give them any protective equipment for their knees, for their feet, and during their work.
Julie has been called away to perform another function in the demonstration, and I'm pleased to welcome now its translator, my fellow producer at WBAI, Danielle Vila, who hosts La Voz Latina.
We were asking, what were the conditions like? How much did you make? Were you paid on time? What were the working conditions like?
Las condiciones era que dejaran el ancho del asadón fuera aquí así anchito, con un radito cortito. Lo que era el ancho del asadón teníamos que dejar una mata de lo que era así.
And after they picked the crop, they had to leave a space of about 5 or 6 inches underground so that the next crop or seeds could be planted. For example, they were forced to do all the work bending over. So they would call them grandpa. They would kneel down or try to sustain themselves on the ground with their hands, and they were not permitted. They were forced to bend over. And he says that, for example, instead of leaving just one crop for seeds for the future, if they left more than one, they were strongly reprimanded. The salary was 90 cents an hour, and from that they would deduct all the other taxes, federal, social security, for example, for the pension, supposedly. And so as a result, he says, with 90 cents an hour, how much money would we have left?
How long did you work here?
De bracero, nomás ese año.
Después vine de ilegal. As a bracero, only in 1957. And then he was forced to come back, as they say, as undocumented many times, but secretly, not through the bracero program. He says they had two respective names. One was wetbacks, when they came from the south into the United States. And then when they had to go under the fence, the wire fences, they will call them the fence people, because they had to either jump or go under the fences.
What are the Mexican people, what do you think about what's happening with the undocumented workers right now and the whole immigration debate right now, and especially the guest worker programs that are being suggested here?
Yo pienso que estamos en lo correcto, estamos en lo normal. El unirnos en esta lucha histórica por una causa histórica. Que esperamos que tenga buenos resultados.
He feels that it's a good thing, that it's something that is needed, and he hopes that it is successful. He says it would be a good idea if people could come into the country to work with a special permission, allowed to work legally. He also points out that yesterday they were at the United Nations. There was a delegation of several people that went into the United Nations with a special reporter on human rights.
And the money that was taken out of your paycheck that was supposed to be for savings, apparently that has not been paid. What do you think about that?
Con respecto a Vicente Fox y a Felipe Calderón, aunque sea de dientes para afuera, pero sí firmaron un...
At least the previous president, Calderón, did some gestures to try to create some type of justice, and he said that in his case he was paid partially, he was paid already some. He was paid 34,000 pesos, Mexican pesos, already from some of the money that he has owed. He's criticizing then Peña Nieto, because he says that the present president, what he has done is he eliminated from the budget what had already been put into the budget for this year and for next year, and he just took it out. He said he reduced it to zero, and as a result, those ex-braceros would not receive any type of federal money.
President Nieto is taking a hard line against labor unions in Mexico right now, especially the teachers union. What's your thoughts on that?
No, pues yo lo considero injusto, que no es correcto. Porque si los maestros...
He says that he feels that workers are correct in fighting, and that what President Peña Nieto is doing is incorrect. Their struggle of the teachers is similar to the struggle of the braceros, who are not being paid what they are owed. And he feels that the teachers also should be paid what they want, what they demand, what they should be paid.
And one more thing President Nieto is trying to do is privatize the oil companies. What's your take on that?
También no lo creo correcto, lo creo incorrecto. Porque pues todo lo que vale en México, todo lo que...
He feels that it's wrong. He feels that Peña Nieto is giving away what belongs to the country, to Mexico, to other countries and other companies. And he feels that, for example, what the old president of the 1920s, Lázaro Cárdenas, who had pushed for the nationalization of oil, he said that that should stand, that that is a good thing, and that the present president, Peña Nieto, wants to go back on those treaties.
Thank you so much for speaking to
Aureliano Ramirez Caldera.
And thanks to Daniel Vila from WBAI for translating. I'm with Rosa Xaret, who is the director of the Alliance of Ex-Bracero Workers in Mexico, who came to the U.S., who worked here during World War II. And tell us a bit more about the Bracero program.
The Bracero Guest Worker Program is a very specific case where we can see all the violations to human dignity, human rights, human conditions, working conditions, constitutional conditions. The Braceros were workers who came from small towns, people that didn't have much formal education, indigenous peoples, farm workers that came contracted by Mexico and by the United States under an agreement between the two nations. They came to work in support of World War II. They were treated like slaves. They were transported from Mexico to the northern part of Mexico and left in the open desert, standing in line for 2 or 3 months with no food, with no protection, to be able to cross the border, to sign their contract in the other side of the border. People died of hunger. They were buried in common graves. They were, most of them were really sick. When they crossed the border, when the United States received them, they were checked on their hands to see if they had working hands, if they had calluses. They were checking their knees to see if they were strong, doing ups and downs to see how many of them will resist the bending their knees. The physical they made on them, they were inserting 2 fingers in their anus to see if they were sick, in a very indignified way. After that, they took them all, and they were all nude, and took them to this place where they were sprayed with DDT. And then after that, the farmers will come and check their arms, their legs, and they were choosing the best, the youngest, and the strongest, and took them to work. The working conditions, they were put in barracks under heat of 120, 25, 30 degrees. The food they were eating, the working hours from 3 o'clock in the morning to 7 at night, bending with a small hoe, that they were bending from, you know, miles and miles with no food, with no water, with no nothing. For us, the Bracero case is a red light within this country to the United States, saying we at this immigration reform want to assure that you look at the Bracero case and see what happened to them. Mexico and the United States agree on taking 10% of their salary. The United States took that money, sent it to Mexico, and Mexico never paid these Braceros their money. Now, we are claiming that money. We are telling the Mexican government that they had to pay this money. President Fox and President Calderon came up with a law that where the Braceros were going to receive a social benefit of 38,000 pesos. And when they signed the receipt, there's a little clause with a small letter that says that they are renouncing, by receiving the social benefit, they will renounce their savings fund. So it's another lie from that government. We want to tell the American people that they have to support the Braceros, because we need this case to be solved before all of them die.
And what's the responsibility of the United States in regard to payment of the money? Is it just Mexico that needs to do this? Does the United States need to cough up some money?
Okay. If you are the country that signed the individual contract, you gave my money to someone else, you, the three of us, the Bracero, the Mexican government, the United States, are responsible for this fraud. If the United States remains in silence, is accomplice of this Jamingas, this great, great...
How many Braceros were there?
The total amount of Braceros is 4.6 million Braceros.
Thank you so much. And we're talking to Rosa Gazaret, who is the director of the Alliance of Ex-Braceros
within the United States and in Mexico.
How did you get involved with this work?
I am a social committed rebel racer. I am a person that, I am a migrant. I am involved in the defending of my people, myself, and the people that I belong to.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank
Keep up the good work.
Gracias. Muy amable. Yeah. Thank you very much.
I'm with Julia Camagon, and what organization are you with?
I'm with the International Migrant Alliance, which is an organization of different migrant grassroots organizations from 40 different countries and 6 continents. And we are fighting for the migrants' rights and welfare in the different countries. We have the analysis of forced migration, that migration is not the right tool for development, that we need real development in our own countries and in order to have real and genuine development. Migration is only a tool to push for the neoliberal policies of the government and also to further exploit, discriminate, and enslave the migrant workers and extract super profits from them to make the rich richer and the poor poorer.
How do you interpret the recent debate within the U.S.? Over immigration reform.
Actually, the guest worker program is very much a part of the immigration reform that they are talking about in Congress and now. And the guest worker, this Bracero program, was the very first worker program in 1942. And these Braceros are a living testimony of the exploitation, discrimination, and the theft, actually, that they have endured and they have suffered up until this day, 71 years later. So the immigration reform has to be genuine. It has to be considerate of the rights of migrants as workers and without exploitation and with respecting the right to work and the right to choose your job and right to justice and dignity.
I assume that includes other things like food stamps and other benefits?
Yes, definitely, because, you know, in this country there are some people who are not capable because of the whole economic system and the whole economic crisis that we're going through right now. And a lot of people are losing their jobs and are being fired, and there's not enough jobs for everyone. It's really the economy, even though the government is saying that we are improving and we are developing and we have more jobs. In reality, it's a big global depression that's going on. So definitely the government should be responsible for providing for the people who are unable to provide for themselves and their families.
And that includes undocumented workers?
Definitely, undocumented workers have the right to live, have the right to work, and have the right to eat, and also feed their children, and have a right to education, just like all the human rights that were declared by the United Nations in 1948.
Among the reforms that are being proposed by the Obama administration, do you think they're adequate? Immigration reform.
Well, I think that it's very much in progress right now. There are a lot of changes that will be happening between now and whenever it's passed, if it's ever passed. So I think that the militarization of the borders, for example, is one big component of this immigration reform. Band-aid, stopgap measure, it doesn't really solve the problem of migration. As a matter of fact, it's being used as a pretext to be more militarized, to use force against the migrants, and further repress the rights of migrants who are just finding work to feed their families.
And why don't you connect the Bracero program back then to what's happening now?
Yes, the Bracero program was the very first guest worker program that the United States has initiated with any country, which is Mexico. And from 4,000 agricultural workers, it went up to 4.6 million in 1964. And these Braceros who are here now have suffered really worse working conditions, discriminations, and in reality slavery during that time. And up to now, they're still fighting for the 10% pension that they were promised back when they were working, when they were 20 years old, and now they're in their 80s and 90s. So the guest worker program is one of the biggest components of the comprehensive immigration reform that the Obama administration is pushing for. So we just want to make sure and make the public aware that the guest worker program from before and the guest worker programs that are currently in effect now, that are being done right now, have not changed. And a lot of the conditions still remain the same. And so we just want to make sure that this does not happen again to any other migrant worker.
And the monies that were promised them, is that the responsibility of the Mexican government or the U.S. government or both?
Well, the U.S. government said that they had already transferred the money through Wells Fargo to the Bank of Mexico. Bank of Mexico is saying that they don't have the money. They don't know how the braceros got that information. And so that is actually one of the demands of the bracero campaign, is for the Obama government to open up the archives, the files of the braceros, the transfer of the money, who the braceros are, the list of all the braceros who worked, and be transparent, because everyone is pointing fingers at each other. The U.S. is pointing fingers at the Mexican government is pointing fingers at the U.S. government, but clearly they are in collusion with each other to cover each other up, and now the braceros are in the middle and they have not received anything.
And you're with a Filipino organization. What is the condition in Filipino migrants, both legal and illegal, in the U.S. at this point?
Yes, there are about 11 million Filipino migrants all over the world in more than 110 countries and territories, and that's about more than 10% of our population. 4,300 Filipinos leave the country every day to different countries to work, and the situation is that there are so many cases of labor trafficking. Here in the United States alone, we've had cases of teachers, nurses, welders, pipe fitters, skilled workers who have been trafficked. Right now, we have a big campaign in New Orleans, Louisiana, for the skilled workers who are actually working the oil rigs, who are being exploited and actually being enslaved, so much like the braceros in 1942. And so whatever the conditions that were happening then are the same conditions that the workers, not just Filipinos, but all the other migrant workers are experiencing at the present.
And throughout this whole immigration debate, undocumented workers are still being deported in record numbers.
Yes.
That's something that Obama could change right away. What do you think about that?
Yes, during his term, more than 2 million migrants have been deported, and this is way much more than the number of migrants that Bush has deported during his term. And so it just shows the underhanded maneuvers that this government is doing to the migrants. I think that it is not priority on his list. Obama definitely has different priorities, despite the fact that he keeps talking about passing a real comprehensive immigration reform.
Thank you so much. I'm speaking with Julia Camagon from International Migrant Alliance. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
When you reach the broken slips through your hands, and you know it's too late to change your mind. 'Cause you paid the price to come this far, just to wind up where you are, and you're still just across the borderline, and you're still just across the borderline.
And Borderline was sung by Baldomir Velasquez, president of the Farm Labor Organizing Committee.
This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg
and Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.